Sabor y Salud Podcast.
Taking out all the things that are white and making them brown.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound beautiful?
I sensed a lot of cultural incompetency with therapists.
Like meters like coming out of your booty hole?
Yeah.
I'm gonna figure this out, okay? I stuck on the lata, the can right there, jackfruit. Yeah. It's gonna work out, okay?
Welcome back, y'all, to Sabor y Salud Podcast. I am your host, Belin Mojarro, and we are on episode 3. This is wild. We are deep in work creating content for y'all. We have interviewed incredible healers. We're so excited to share the information that they have been sharing with us. And so if you're really liking what we're doing, please share and please tell everyone you know. Share it on your Facebook, your Instagram, tell your homegirls, your mama, your tia, your abuelas, anyone you think that would like this podcast. And we'd really love it if you would subscribe. So if you go to Apple Podcasts, you can click the little button that says subscribe. And that will be great. So Apple knows that we're doing good work and that they need to hear more from these healers as well. So please share all across the board. And we love you and your support. So let's jump into this episode. We got to interview Hannah Ward, who is an LA painter and ceramicist, co-founder and co-artist of Uno Ichi, a brand specializing in handmade ceramic ware for the happy home. So Hannah actually is the first artist that we're going to be sharing on this podcast. And she doesn't necessarily consider herself a healer, but we did get to talk about the healing component of art. And she shared that art really helps her work through the intangible. So you're going to hear her talk about that a little bit with her painting and her ceramics. She also gets to talk a little bit about her cultural background and how that's influenced her work. And the legacy that she wants to leave in her art. She specifically talks about drawing this painting where she was thinking about legacy and she was listening to JC's 444 and what she wants to leave behind. And we both shared that it was a legacy of health. She will jump into the details of the workshop she is hosting this May called The Healing Component of Clay. And you can get more information on that towards the end of the interview. You can hear her give the website. And then we get weird. So me and Hannah talk about our emotional attachment to our water bottles, which is a real thing. When you get a water bottle and you drink from it every day, it's like your blankie. Then we get into the weird things that we've done. She shares a bunch of things that she does for her health, like drinking broccoli water and putting papaya skin on her face. And then we both get personal and share the weird health practices we've had to do for our vaginal health. So get ready to hear us talk about vaginas and sex, y'all. We're going to intro you into this interview with Hannah and Mai's co-mediocre beatbox freestyle. So I hope y'all enjoy.
Can you?
No, girl. Hannah Ward, Vali Mahara, fucking it up. Freestyle beatbox amateur. What? Mm. Boom, 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 boom. I'm done.
I think it's good now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, girl. Let's jump into this. So, how does art heal?
I feel like I think about this on many different levels, but it's funny because I am doing like the clay workshop that's about healing, which is art. But I actually, when I think about art and healing, I think about my paintings more so. And for me, those are like completely self-serving. Like I'm doing this for me to like work through something that's not something I can really verbalize. Like if I have a problem sometimes or something I'm thinking about, there's some things you can like talk to a friend about or write or something. But for me, there's some things that are just like intangible in that way and need to be worked out like on the canvas sort of. So for me, that's like what's healing. But I don't know. That's why it's like crazy to me when I do something like that and then someone else connects to it. You know, it does something for them. It's kind of like, oh shit. Like, it can extend beyond my own self-serving, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. reasons. But
for sure. No, I totally agree. I try to say sometimes, like, art, and I guess, well, you're talking a little bit more, like, visually without words necessarily, but, like, art, we so much work in, like, a headspace, I feel like, in our day-to-day lives. Like, mm-hmm. we're always using our head. We're thinking. We're rationalizing. We're trying to understand with our brain, and that art just, like, releases all of that. And it's, like, all about, like, heart and mm-hmm. body, right? Like, if you're using your hand, it's really, like, tactile sometimes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, girl. Yeah. I agree.
That's kind of how I came to clay, actually. I'd moved back home. I was like, I want to do art. And I was painting. But I didn't know. There's, like, a lot. I'd been watching too many, like, creative morning things like are inspiring, right. but also just like
creative morning things.
Yeah, that's like the video series where they oh. have like different artists or creative people talk about oh, what they do. Yeah,
okay.
And cool. I was like super inspired by it, but I think I got into a space of way too like, this is my plan and this is what I'm gonna do and like blah blah. And I think that it was hard creatively. I was trying to figure out what my style was. I'm like, so actually, when it came time to like the paper or the canvas in front of me, I felt like not as connected, not as fluid. And that's why I started doing ceramics, because ceramics is such a like technical, there's so much to learn just to get something going. It's not like I can be like, unless you're hand building and sculpting, you can kind of immediately be creative. But if working on the wheel, you have to like really sort of master the craft before you can start to be creative. Otherwise it just doesn't work. And so there was something about that, and like not having to think about what am I making? What is this? It's like, I'm just trying to make something.
Just learn. Yeah.
And like it's kind of muscle memory. So you're not really thinking about it. Like your hands are just doing it. And yeah, for me, that was like a crazy release. It was like, I could be creative and have that outlet, but I didn't have to think about it. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your cultural background then. Like, it's in your paintings, what I've seen so far, you don't like force any like quote unquote like cultural
like agenda,
or? Yeah, I don't feel like it's like a forced thing. Like, it, what you're telling me right now seems very apparent in like all your painting, that it just kind of comes and it flows, and you don't really like try to understand it or explain it. It just kind of happens. So can you explain a little bit about your cultural background and how how that's maybe or maybe not informed your work?
I think it for sure does. I mean, so I'm Black and Japanese, and I think that, and I mostly paint like brown and black people. So, and then I think that, I mean, it doesn't really come out so like, yeah, like one to one. But I do think that there is an influence in like Japanese art in my style. Because I grew up like watching like Chibi Maruko-chan and, and like Sanrio was like my favorite.
Are those like telenovelas, Japanese telenovelas?
It's a cartoon.
Oh, word.
It's like, yeah. but yeah, I actually think that my paintings now, the ones I'm working on that like, I guess not really, people don't really see. But I think those actually do have more of a, almost like an agenda to them. And that's not so much like, I think that comes not so much like, I want to do this thing that's going to message this, but it's like, I work on it, and it's like, oh, hey, this is kind of a depiction of this thing I've been feeling and thinking about with regards to this. Like I was doing some paintings of women and men, too, like passing vegetables down the line, and I had one, all of these are kind of unfinished, but I had one that was just men passing some kale down a line. They kind of look like this little guy, but I chose kind of like Pan-African colors, and I think I was trying to get at this this like health message almost of like passing things down I liked that image because there was this like community, like helpfulness, like we're doing this together sort of thing. And then also, like, it was at the same time as Jay-Z's album came out.
So oh, I was nice. Yes.
I was thinking about legacy and like passing down.
Like, this is my legacy, the kale.
Well, I was just thinking about, I mean, he talks about like passing wealth down, mm-hmm, but I was just mm-hmm. thinking of passing health down, kind of, and like, yep. and I'm all like on like normalized veggies is like a thing.
Wait, what?
Oh, to normalize.
Normalized veggies, oh, because so
wow,
many people
I've never
are like,
heard that put it that way. That's cool.
So many people are like, like they know they to be healthy, but they're not trying to eat like all vegetables, and they think that's really weird. You know,
I mean,
you have to eat other stuff too.
The veggie stigma,
yeah,
it's real.
Yeah, or like I don't eat veggies as like a thing.
It's like, don't even ask me. Yeah. It's like hella defensive. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And yeah, and I also went through like a period when I like wasn't dating, like wasn't in a relationship, and I was just kind of dating some guys, and I was like, all these guys fucking have terrible like health. I mean,
why?
Just, like, what they're like, they just eat like, they just want like steak and bread.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yo, that's some toxic masculinity. This podcast isn't really for men, but men eat your vegetables. God.
Anyway, so I was just, yeah, I just had that all in my mind.
All right, girl, you're doing a really dope workshop coming up.
Yes.
Can we talk about it? The healing component of clay. Mm-hmm. Let the people know.
So it's a 3-part workshop that aims to, or is designed to kind of bring out the healing component of like the tactile element of clay. So just like using your hands to, as a, using your hands and manipulating clay is like a release, a stress release. That's one piece. So the first workshop's actually designed to, I want people to just like play with the clay. I took this art workshop class a while back about teaching art, and one of the things that always stuck with me that the professor said was, no matter the medium, when someone like comes to it for the first time, they're gonna play with it the same way a 2-year-old would, the same way 8-year-old would, like that's our human instinct. First you need to play, and then you can make something with it. So the first workshop's gonna be mostly like play. I want people to like throw it, rip it, like whatever. And then the next 2 workshops, we're going to get into making something, and I hope that people will make something that that they can cherish and take home, and that so there I'm hoping that there's these like 3 levels to it. The first level is like the physical tactile release of stress, and not tactile release of stress doesn't make sense, but you know, the tactile element like releases some stress. And then the second level is like making something themselves, something functional, as being another level of like addressing some kind of stress or some kind of healing. This is like something that they can take pride in. And then the third is like you get to take it home, and it can be a reminder of this experience. So I'm hoping that people can kind of like ground themselves in this workshop, and then the thing they take home can be a reminder of whatever intention or, you know, mind space they get into in the workshop. So yeah,
cool.
And yeah, so I got a grant from the Department of Cultural Affairs, so that's why it's all happening.
Awesome. Thank you, Department of Cultural Affairs.
Yes.
Good looking out. Going back to your workshop a little bit, why is this workshop series important?
There's like levels to it. I don't know. So I think that I hope that it can at least be a thing to, as a unwinding tool from the day. I know when I was teaching, we had some people come and like do this. Was it like a meditation workshop or something? We could sign up for it. It was like this free thing that they were just providing for the teachers. And it was like, yes, we all need this. we're so stressed. And like, so I hope that it can be at least that for some people. I also have been really recognizing like the energy that you get from like being in a space of like all people of color, like all women of color, like that in itself is mm-hmm. like a
healing.
Yeah. Which is just, it's like, why?
Mm-hmm. Can, why? Like exhale.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm hoping that people can get that too.
Mm. So for folks that might not have access to your classes or art classes in general, or mm-hmm. how can they incorporate art into their lives?
Well, I don't know. It depends what you mean. I mean, I think everyone is creative, and everyone has the potential to like use their creativity. As far as incorporating art, I think that I would like to see people practicing, like seeing the things that they like, sure, and then taking that step to do it themselves. You know, some people see stuff and are like, oh, I like that, how they did that, or I'd like want to make that one day, or I'd, you know, even if it's like hearing someone like rapping, you're like, I want to rap. But even if you're not like, I want to be a rapper as my full time thing, but like just to like just do a little rap, you know what I mean? I think I would like that to me, that kind of art is really important, and I love seeing people like take things into their own hands mm-hmm. and turn it into their like own expression and just and make
take
things.
Risks.
Yeah, take risks, exactly. For sure. Yes.
Scary, but yeah.
Yeah.
Super important. Outside of your art and all the healing that it does for your life, what are some other practices that you do to support your health and healing? Mm.
Yeah, so I am like a really stressed out person. I'm learning. Or maybe it's just right now in my life. Aww. I don't know. And my mom is like trying to have an intervention or whatever. But she's always told me like you just have to steal the moments in your day. So like you could be having a crazy day, sure, and there's things that you have to do, but take 5 minutes. If you're at work, go to the bathroom for 5 minutes and just chill out for a second, you know, and like steal that time for yourself. So I try to do that throughout the day. That could be just sitting for a second, drinking a glass of water. Like, okay, I'm just going to finish this glass and I'm just sitting for a second. It could be like stopping to read for a second or something, which I haven't done in a while, to be honest. But maybe I will today. Who knows? But yeah, just, or like I said, I took that bath last night. I was like, it's 2 a.m. I don't care. But I was just, I bought this like really amazing like bath soak stuff, and my body felt tired, and I was like, I think I need this. So yeah, I don't know. Girl. Yeah, it's just so. I'm always trying to stay on it because I think it's really easy to slip. You know, like for me, if I'm not drinking enough water, which happens really easily, then I feel like, oh shit, I feel like that's the source of like all my problems.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, but it can happen easily if you're just busy and you forgot your water bottle that day. And just,
that's the worst. That is the worst. When you forget your water bottle somewhere, it's like my security blanket. It is. Like it legit like brings me down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
You get better. I feel like as a water bottle owner, like you lose it a lot more. It's like a pet or kid. Like you don't do
it's
that.
It's a supply
kids,
of like I don't know. I'm saying this as I'm holding my water, like, clutching my water bottle close to my heart. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you. That's a real one. Once you get in the practice of drinking water, when you don't have it, you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. Are there any other things you do?
I mean, I think that the painting for me is like a big thing. Like if I go a week or if I go 2 weeks and I haven't gone to my painting studios at my sister's house, if I haven't gone there, then I'm like, I feel like a mess, you know? And so when I have the time to do that, I feel more grounded. But it's crazy. It's crazy how many people have lived, how many lives have lived, how many, like, methods, and yet it still feels like you have to figure out everything from scratch for yourself. It's like, yeah. Oh, this is how I do this thing, and this is how I do that, and this is the, like, way to make it work for me. It's just, you know, so even though I'm 29, I feel like I'm just learning how to like, oh, these are the foods that I can eat and this is the time I should eat them. Like, these are like basic things.
Yeah, it's but, true though.
Yeah,
I feel like it's really a journey that everyone has to take for themselves, and trial and error and trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, you know, mm-hmm. see what works for you, because we're complicated, we're multi-layered, you mm-hmm. know, we can't just fit in a formula of like, this works for you.
Yeah,
and this works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I appreciate you saying that. All right. Just for shits and giggles, mm-hmm. what's the strangest thing you've done for health, Hannah?
I'm also weird because I do things that I don't think are strange at all. But like my sister thinks is really weird.
Like what?
Like I'll buy a papaya and I'm eating it and cutting up, and then I'll take the peel and like rub it on my face, which my mom also does. I think that's why I think it's normal. But then I guess that's not that yeah. normal. But there's crazy, excuse me. There's, really good enzymes in papaya, so like, why would I just throw it away?
Yeah, we buy all these creams that has like papaya yeah, extract, yeah. avocado extract, right. so you could literally just like put it on your face. Yeah,
or like if I steam broccoli, I'll like drink the juice that I steamed out of fish, I guess.
That's it's great. Weird, that's resourceful, girl.
Okay,
get every bit of vitamin and mineral that's out what of your I'm food. Feeling.
I'm like, I'm not gonna throw away these nutrients.
That's great. Yeah, it's hell yeah, sustainable. Mm. Drink your broccoli water, folks. Is there any one particular thing you think is strange?
I know.
Or moment?
Like, can you give me an example of, like, your strangest, and then maybe it'll help me?
Yeah, I think the strangest thing I've done, which my gynecologist recommended to me, like, off the record. I won't off say their the name. Record. Yeah, ooh. She was like... I'm not really supposed to tell you this, but it really works. If you don't want to take antibiotics, I'm not recommending for folks to do this. You should talk to your physician, as we say at all the end of our episodes. But I was dealing with some vaginosis,
mm-hmm.
and she told me to put garlic in my vag,
mm-hmm.
and it cleaned it right up.
Yeah. Okay. I've done that before.
Garlic? So,
yeah.
Oh, nice. Word. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But for like yeast infection.
Mm.
Yeah.
Those natural remedies.
Yeah. Actually, full disclosure, maybe not.
You can let us know. We can always edit it out.
Full disclosure, I did that. Then I was like, I don't know where it went. And then I had sex. And then it came out.
And you're like, later. There you are.
I was like, I wonder if he... I didn't, like, know the... Like, I mean... I wasn't, like, comfortable enough with this guy. Like, did you notice that there was a garlic in there? I just didn't say anything. It came out, like, in the bathroom or something.
Oh.
So I was like, I wonder if he noticed. But I didn't ask. Just like, whatever.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. That's happened.
Those sneaky little garlic cloves getting stuck in your vagina. All right, girl, how can folks find you if they want to get in contact with you, purchase your art, just see mm-hmm. how cool you are?
Okay, there's a lot. Okay, so there's my website, hannahward.com, which is some artwork, maybe not the best way to get in touch with me. there's uno-ichi.com, and that's all the ceramic work that we create. And if you want to learn more about the workshops, that's thehealingcomponentofclay.com.
Oh, it has some website.
It has a website.
Legit.
Info. You could register there. It's full right now, but there's a wait list. If you sign up for the wait list, I'll reach out to you if I do another workshop. So
cool.
Yes.
And you want folks to join on the very last day of the workshop, right?
So the workshop is three parts, but on the 20th, it's like May 20th, it's a... culminating event, and the people who participated will pick up their work there, but there's also going to be some like little activities for visitors to come and get a little taste of what the workshop was like. So the participants will kind of do a little teach back sort of
cool.
thing, so people can come to that. That's open. That's May 20th, 6 to 9. It could be 7 to 9. I've got to check.
All right. We'll go back.
At the Wise Spot. And the address, if you Google the Wise Spot, it'll come up. But the address is on the website.
Did y'all like hearing from Hannah? We learned a ton in this interview. And just a quick clarification for folks in Los Angeles that are interested in attending her culminating event for her workshop, The Healing Component of Clay. The final event will be happening from 6 to 8 at the Wise Spot. That's W-I-S-E Spot. So here are a couple takeaways we took from Hannah's interview. So she spoke about how her painting is really self-serving for her, and she gets surprised when folks see her art and they really resonate with it, or they feel healed or impacted by it, because those weren't her intentions. They weren't necessarily to serve folks. And it made me really think about the idea of self-service versus community service, and how we tend to put those at a dichotomy, but really they're the same thing, or they can be in relation to each other. When you're doing something good for yourself and really taking care of your being, that also supports other people and your community. She also shared about the way she is very resourceful with her food. As you heard her mention, she drinks her broccoli water, and she also puts papaya skin on her own skin. So it made me think about the way I can be more resourceful with the food I eat and create less waste in my day to day. Hannah also shared how she can't go more than 2 weeks without painting, because then she just feels like a mess. And I really resonated with that, because my weekly thing that I have to do to remain healthy and feel good about being in my body is dancing. If I don't take a dance class or go out dancing like once a week, I just feel all over the place. So that was a really great self-reflective moment for me. Lastly, I wanted to jump into Hannah's workshop, The Healing Component of Clay, because I was really interested in what that means for folks. So I did a little research of my own on clay art therapy, and I found out that playing with clay and working with clay can mediate a variety of challenges related to depression and mental health, because it's a three-dimensional material. Like Hannah said, you engage like with it in a tactile way, that it gives you a unique perceptual and decision-making response. And it's just play, and who doesn't want to connect with their inner child?
Sabor y Salud Podcast is a labor of love, brought to you by me, your host, Delin Mojarro, and my talented homegirl, nature traveler, and co-producer extraordinaire, Stephanie Aguilar.
The information shared on Sabor y Salud Podcast is not intended to replace medical or professional advice or treatment. Please consult your personal healer, doctor, physician, or curandera before trying new health practices.